Well, I have here a little bit of show and tell. I guess that's the flavor of our church these days. Wayne last week and the show we just had with the backpack. This is a clay pot. This is a special clay pot because it's a exact copy of a ancient Greek clay pot that goes back, the original goes back to the year 2,400 years ago, 400 B.C. And the original of this one, and it's hand-painted, and it's got a picture of the Odysseus from the Iliad and the Odyssey in the center there. The original is in Vienna. But this is just a copy of it. But it's pretty much an exact copy of it. And I got it when I was traveling through Berlin. Now, most of you think Berlin, Germany, but no, Berlin, Maryland. It's just outside of Ocean City. It's a lovely little town, and I went to a junk shop, and my eyes popped out of my head when I saw it, and I was just delighted with it. But the reason I bring it is because in the ancient world, especially at the time of Christ, everything was done with clay pots. They didn't have Tupperware. They didn't have baggies. Everything had to go into a clay pot. Everything. All their food, if they wanted to keep any food, keep any grain, keep the rats or the mice out, everything went into a clay pot because that was the way to preserve it from being destroyed by vermin or whatever else was available, even bugs. And they put a nice tight lid on it. So everybody had clay pots. And most of them were just real cheap. They weren't hand-painted like this one was. This was more of a show pot. But most of them were just simple clay pots that you would use, and every house would have lots of them. And, of course, they're breakable. So people would have broken clay pots, and then they'd have shards of clay pots. And that was just the way you stored things. They even stored their valuables in it, because where else would you put your valuables in the ancient world, especially if you were not a very particularly wealthy family and you didn't have all the luxuries that the aristocracy had. You just had a simple lifestyle. You'd use clay pots. And so the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of a clay pot to talk about us in relationship with God. So we're going to take a look at the verse here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he wrote this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels," that's clay pots, "that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." You see, the pot itself, the earthen vessel, is nothing special. They were common. There was no particular great value to them. But you might have, if you were in those days, you might have a clay pot with olive oil in it. And olive oil would be very expensive. So it isn't the pot that was valuable, it was what was inside the pot. Or if perchance you happen to have some precious stones or maybe a piece of jewelry or two and you wanted some place to keep it, as I said, the only place people would have would be into their clay pots, unless they were particularly wealthy people. So the pot itself had little or no value, but the thing that was inside of it oftentimes was exceedingly valuable. It was all the value that that family may have had. They would store it inside of a clay pot. And so Paul says, that's the way it is with us. We, you and I, and Ryan and Mary and all the missionaries we support, we are the clay pots. And there's nothing special about us. That's all we are, is just ordinary, not the sophisticated ones, just the ordinary clay pots. But what we have inside is Christ. And that's where the value comes in. I didn't want that one up there. That's like a half an hour from now. We go back. Going, whoa. Yes. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. So when Ryan and Mary go out and eventually, one day, fly into some village and help, just like you saw in the video, and help some tribe that has never heard the name of Jesus Christ and have no idea that the Savior died for them. And they come to know the Lord, and the whole tribe is transformed, and they go from the Stone Age, and they start moving right into the modern age, but walking with God. We'll be so proud and just delighted with the work of the missionaries, but we'll recognize it was God. The value came from God. And we, as his servants, have been given the privilege to participate in this. God has chosen to use us, even though we're just clay pots and nothing more. He has chosen to use us to get his word out there to do this tremendous, great work. So I'm going to take a few minutes and tell you a few stories about missionaries, because I have been a missionary for 10 years. I'm the chairman of the missions committee here. I personally have many, many, many friends who are missionaries. I've seen the best. I've seen the worst. And most of them aren't the best, and very few are the worst. Most of them are just honest, hardworking people. But I'm going to tell you stories of a few missionaries. And the first one you've never met, her name was Mary Ann. She's now with the Lord. When she was a little girl, she was raised in a very dysfunctional family, totally abused, sexually abused. And it was a hard life. But somewhere along the line, and I do not know when it happened, somewhere along the line she came to know the Lord as Savior. And he called her out of great difficulty, set her feet upon a rock. She eventually went on to become trained as a Christian counselor. She eventually was called as a missionary to go to Ireland as a counselor. And that's when I met her, because that's where I was. And at the time, I was part of the leadership of a team of about 25, 26 full-time missionaries. And I became her director. Now, because of her background, because of the abuse that she suffered, Mary Ann had a serious problem. She could not abide men. She did not want to be around any men. She didn't want to take any orders from men. She didn't want to talk things over with men. She just couldn't handle it. I mean, she had to, and she did what she needed to do, but if at all possible, she would avoid any contact with men for the rest of her life. So I'm her director, and we have to sit and talk and make plans, and we have to work through certain ideas about how we're going to use her. Now, she went on, but I might say, she went on to do incredible things. In Ireland and in England at the time, this would be in the 80s and 90s, and all through the 90s, she only passed away this past year, 2016, from cancer, which she had been fighting for about 20 years. There was really very little research and teaching on how to help people who were abused as children, who are now as adults not functioning well because of the abuse they suffered when they were kids. But she had developed a wonderful approach, and she was teaching, and she was invited to go to England to teach at various schools, and she set up a Christian, along with another missionary, a Christian counseling training center there in Ireland, and they were touching many, many lives deeply. Deeply where people were wounded and nobody else could get in there to help them because the wounds were very deep. God was using this broken clay pot, shall we say, this woman who had gone through so much and was struggling in her own ways, that yet the excellence of the glory was of Christ because he was working through her. She didn't have to be perfect. She didn't have to have it all together. She didn't have it all together, but God used her in a powerful way anyway. And many, many people today are living a healthier, happier, productive life because of the great work that she did. Now, when I left Ireland, that was 1992, we sat down and we talked, and she said, you know, I realize that you and I have had I don't want to say strained relationship, because it wasn't really strained, but it wasn't close. And I said, I understand. She goes, I wish I could have been closer. I wish I could have been more open, but I just couldn't. I said, I understand. That's no problem. God has used you and blessed you, and it's okay. And she went on, and as I say, did these great things. And then last year, the Lord took her home as she suffered from cancer. God can use anybody. But you have to be willing, and God uses clay pots. I want to talk about another missionary. He's one of ours. This happened maybe 10 years ago, back when we were in the other church, and we had three services, bang, 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 and everything had to be on precision timing, because when you have three services, your first service can't go over for 15 minutes because everybody's out in the hall, and people who want to come in, and people are here going, I got to get to my class, I got to get to my kids. Well, we invited one of our own. He's from this church. We invited him to speak, and so he was all set, and he had his notes, and he preached for 15 minutes beyond when the time of the service was supposed to be over. And I'm sitting in the front row, and I'm going, you know? And he looks at me and says, I got 15 more minutes, don't I? I said, no, you're way over. So we dismissed everybody, and I said, okay, now, that wasn't so bad. But for this next service, you got to cut out at least 15 minutes of work. He goes, I can't do that. I said, what do you mean you can't do that? You told lots of wonderful stories. Just jettison a couple of them. Tell them next time you come. No, I can't edit as I go. I just don't have that ability. I said, give me your papers. That one's out. That's it. That one's out. I was kind of shocked. I didn't say anything to him because, you know, you want to say anything negative. I thought, what do you mean you can't edit? You're a speaker. You edit as you go. Right now, I'm watching the clock. I got 10 minutes. I know I got to edit this message, right? You edit as you go. He couldn't do that. And I thought, oh, that's right, another clay pot. We're all clay pots, you see. Nobody has it all together. Nobody can do it all. Even a missionary who is a speaker and speaks in front of congregations or people all the time messes up or has limitations. But the glory isn't from the missionary. It's from Christ who is the one we bring to people. And therefore, we don't have unrealistic expectations. I want to tell you about one more missionary. And this one's a little harder. Those two were a little bit fun. This one's just a little harder because he's one of ours. And some of you know this, but it's time that the whole congregation know this. So we're going to mention it today. Ben and Yemi Skaggs are our missionaries. Ben has been a missionary with us for decades now. And I would dare say he's one of the greatest missionaries I've ever met. He has led an entire group of people, the Ma'en people in Ethiopia, a huge tribe, maybe 100,000 Ma'en people. He's led at least 10,000 of them, 10,000 of them to the Lord. He has trained them to become missionaries, and they have gone over to the Ta'ara people, and they have begun to reach that tribe. It, just like in that video where the terrain was so tough, Ben flies the people in with a helicopter and they go into the Ta'ara people because you can't get there within a few days just by walking, but you can get there in an hour or two by flying a helicopter. If you've been part of this church for any amount of time, you know that Ben has done incredible things. And when he comes, you have a sense of, here's a man that God is using. And his first wife died, and he suffered through that terrible loss, which was a slow process. And then God gave him another wife named Yemi, and they've worked together. But remember, we're talking about clay pots. We're talking about real people, not fictitious people, not ideal people, not people that say, here's the standard, everybody has to measure up. Now, I don't think Ben has done anything wrong. As far as I know, Ben has conducted himself in an extremely honorable, dignified way. But he and Yemi are separated. They're not in Ethiopia at the present time. I believe they're in North Carolina. They are separated. I do not see them going back to Ethiopia at all. Now, that might change, but I just can't see how that's going to happen. And so a clay pot has fallen and broken. And it saddens us tremendously because the great work that God was doing is presently on hold. But I might say maybe a greater work is being done in the hearts of these two. Now, again, I want to make sure that you understand there. I have absolutely no accusations against Ben whatsoever, and I haven't been able to communicate with Yemi, but I just wanted to let you know that we need to pray for these people. Now, I want to move on, not just to talk about clay pots, but what does this mean for us? So how does that affect us here at GBC on a regular basis? Well, first of all, let me just reemphasize that we want to remember, even in our own lives, it's Jesus who makes the difference. It's not our church. We have a wonderful church. I think we have some of the greatest people that I've ever met. I love the people of this church. I love the way the church functions. I love the ministries the church has. But ultimately, that isn't what saves us. That isn't what gives us direction. It's Jesus. And we never want to forget that. I'm happy to invite people to church, but what they really need to hear about not is how great GBC is, but how great the Savior is. Because the exceeding power is of Christ and not of us. You and I, we are just clay pots. And the day that we forget that we're just clay pots is the day that the Lord is diminished in being able to use us. Because it's all about Christ. So when we have opportunity to share with somebody or invite them to church for a special function or anything that happens, we want to remember what we want to do is introduce them to Jesus. We want to introduce them to the Savior. Now, our programs are designed to do that, so sure, we get them involved if we can, maybe in a youth program or in a ladies' Bible study or a life group or something. Second of all, I want us to recognize that our missionaries are all flawed human beings. We must not expect perfection. I know all of our missionaries personally, and sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I'm the one that might take them to the airport when they come here and they have to be picked up or dropped off at the airport. And in one case, I'm driving one of our missionaries, wonderful couple, to the airport, and they said some things. I'm going, ooh, I don't agree with that at all, not even close. I think that is terrible. But I thought, you know what? In the big picture, let it go. They're not perfect. They got problems. They're human. They're clay pots. But God is using them anyway. God is using them because they're available and they actually have a big heart and they want people to get saved. And they're putting themselves out there. And I discovered what I think is to be a big flaw. And so what? Does that mean God won't use them? I have no doubt that over the last 25 years, most people in this church have seen some big flaws in myself or Pastor Wayne or Pastor Rob. And if you hang around Jesse long enough, you might spot a little flaw here and there. So what? We're clay pots. Ryan and Mary are clay pots. We just need to pray for them. So that brings me to my third point. And this is where we will put that verse up there. The Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary who ever lived, the one who went out into uncharted territory in terms of nobody had ever heard the gospel in the Mediterranean world. And they were hostile to him. And he was beaten and he was thrown in jail and he was left for dead. He was literally stoned to death at one point. But yet he kept going. This great, great missionary who set the standards for all other missionaries said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you." He said, "I need prayer." Now, if the greatest missionary who ever lived needs prayer, how much more all the missionaries that we have? So I want to challenge us to say, can you add into your daily prayer time, whatever prayer time you have, could you adopt in your mind a missionary, anyone you want, and say, just as I pray for, say you pray for your spouse, or you pray for your children, or you pray for a dear friend. There's some people that you pray for on a regular basis because they're very close to you. Pick a missionary from GBC's list. We have them out on the wall, out in the hallway there. Pick a missionary and say, you know what, that person's going to become part of my family prayer life. And so when you pray for the people that you love the most and you pray for those that are so close to you, just say, this one now, this couple, this woman, this man, this couple, whatever, they have now become part of my family prayer time. I'm going to pray for them. Again, if the Apostle Paul needed prayer and he was the greatest of them all, how much more our missionaries? So that's our challenge, because we are all, and our missionaries are all, clay pots. Nothing special, but the exceeding greatness is of Christ. And we want them to always remember that. We want that Lord to use them in a very, very powerful way, just as we saw in that wonderful video of Mission Aviation Fellowship. that that sort of thing can continue on, and that GBC will continue to be part of the engine that God uses to get the gospel around the world. With that, I'll close in prayer. Our Lord God, we thank you for the calling that you have given this church, that we are to be part of the process of reaching the world with the gospel. Thank you that you have chosen to use our clay pots, to use us, even though we are very humble in the sense of not being exceedingly gifted, but yet you choose to use us because the excellency is of yourself. So I pray that we might have a renewed commitment towards missions and understand the great work, the incredible work that you're doing and you want to do through your people. And again, I want to pray especially for Ryan and Mary, that you would bless them in every possible way and use them, not just in the very near future, but for decades to come, that the world might know that Jesus is the Savior. We pray all this now in his precious name. Amen.